Yasoda Nanda na Brajana Naranjana Yasoda Nanda Mundatira Vanna Charita Muni Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya 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 Prams Gahal, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddh Vedigadara Ashwasdi Gaur Bhakta Vindigi Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govida Shama Kundurada Kaji Gita Gavradan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navaduk Dham Ki Jai Ganga Shamona Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindigi Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindigi Jai Gopravinandi All glories to the Hemal devotees, all glories to the Hemal devotees, all glories to the Hemal devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhadeva Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashtatade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Swasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 35 Verse 20 Kundadama Krita Kodokavesho Gopa Godana Vrita Jamunayam Nanda Sunur Anagetava Vatso Narmada Pranayinam Avijahara Kunda of jasmine flowers, Dama with a garland, Krita, maid, Kautuka, playful, Vesha, his array, Gopa, by the cowherd boys, Godhana, and the cows, Vrita, surrounded, Jamunayam, along the Jamuna, Nanda Sunu, the son of Ananda Maharaj, Anage, O sinless lady, Tava, your Vatsa, darling child, Narmada, amusing, Pranayinam, his dear companions, Vijahara, he has played. O sinless Yasoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Jamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while the various Upadevas, standing on all sides like panegyrists, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. Report, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the gopis are again in the courtyard of Mother Yasoda, the queen of Vraja. They are trying to encourage her by describing Krishna's return to Vrindavan after he has spent the day herding cows and playing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that the Upadevas, the minor demigods mentioned here, include the Gandharvas, who are famous for their celestial music and dancing. Translation, O sinless Yasoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland. He is now playing along the Jamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while the various Upadevas, standing on all sides like panegyrists, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. So here we see that the gopis are glorifying Krishna, but in a very general way. And one reason is that we find that here they're addressing Yasoda, because they use the word anagi, which refers to a sinless person, but it's a woman. And they talk about your child. So it refers to Yasoda. So though many of the verses are actually expressing their love for Krishna and conjugal rasa, and they describe the sound of the flute and how it affects various living entities to develop love, including themselves, here we find a more general description of Krishna in relation to herding the cows and the calves. Going to the bank of the Jamuna, etc., and dressed up with the various flower garlands. So it's it's a general description for everyone. And as explained in the purport, the occasion is that they are in separation from Krishna, and Yasoda and Nanda and all the other elders are also in separation from Krishna during the daytime. So there's an elaborate description of, in various works, of how Krishna goes with the many cowherd boys to the forest in the morning, along with the calves and the cows, after taking his morning meal. And he goes into the forest, and as he approaches the forest, after leaving the village, everyone follows him. All the elders follow him, and the gopis and Yasoda, Nanda, they all follow Krishna into the forest. But of course, they can't really go there, so they get to the edge of the forest, and then Krishna tells them all to go back. But it's very difficult for them to go back, especially for Yasoda. And so your soda keeps giving some excuse to Krishna. You know, have you got your meal there? Have you got your protection of the ambulance and things like this? Kavachas on your body, made out of various herbs, etc. She asks the cowherd boys to protect Krishna. So they have to surround him in various ways to protect him from the various animals in the forest. With various excuses, she keeps Krishna there. But then finally, of course, Krishna has to tell her to leave along with all the others. So in this way, he goes off to the forest, and they're left standing there. And then they finally return to the village. So they are in separation from Krishna during the daytime. And then they have to pass their time. So just as the gopis have to pass their time by singing about Krishna in this way, so the elders and Yasoda also have to pass their time. And they often also sing about Krishna's pastimes to give them comfort. And here we see that some of the gopis are actually singing to Yasoda to give her comfort by reminding her of Krishna. And so they glorify him by describing his appearance in the forest as he's playing with the calves and the cowherd boys and cows. So it's another kirtan, but it's a kirtan which will also comfort Yasoda particularly. So in this way, during the daytime, they pass their time. And then as the afternoon wears on, towards the end of the afternoon, then again, they all expect Krishna to come back. And so again, after passing their days, they wait at the edge of the village, and some of them climb on top of the rooftops to get a better view. And they keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and then they finally see the dust rising in the horizon from the calves and the cows and the boys. And then finally they hear the flute, sound of the flute, and then they see the cows and the calves and Krishna coming finally. And so they get some joy at the coming back of Krishna. But anyway, in the daytime, there is this separation which creates great longing, and then finally they meet Krishna again when he comes back in the evening time, covered with dust from the cows. So here we have this very this general description here of Krishna with his a garland of jasmine flowers playing on the bank of the Jamuna with the calves and cowherd boys. So this allows for a different rasa to manifest. During the day, the cowherd boys are with Krishna, while everyone else is in separation. So going to the forest is a good excuse for pastimes with the cowherd boys. And there's descriptions of that in the other parts of the Bhagavatam, where he plays various games with the cowherd boys. And this is helps the Sakya Rasa mature with the cowherd boys. So he's suitably dressed for that also. And of course he has various, described previously how he has a wrestler's dress, or he has a vanavesha, a malavesha or a vanavesha. Those are two veshas he may wear in the forest. And he decorates himself with the dyes, mineral dyes from the forest, and paints his body in different ways with that as well, and various flowers and peacock feathers. So that's it, and this is part of the play with the other boys in the forest. They become various udibanas for stimulating that particular rasa with the cowherd boys, these various forest decorations, etc. However, they also become stimulus for the gopis, because they remember Krishna like that, and this increases their longing. So even the dressing up with the cowherd boys acts as a stimulus for the gopis, and they long to meet Krishna. And similarly for Mother Yasoda. So when Krishna comes back,
then he still has all of this decoration on the forest decoration and the flowers and the dye, etc. Plus, he's covered with the dust from the hooves of the calves and cows. So all of that acts as a stimulus to increase the longing of the elders and Yasoda. So here they describe that forest decoration, and this increases the longing of Mother Yasoda, also satisfies her to some degree. And here's described also the upadevatas, or minor devatas, they begin to glorify Krishna. So, of course, in the sky, we had previously a description of how the wives of the devatas became enamored with the flute, sound of the flute of Krishna. Here we have the upadevatas glorifying Krishna. Upadeva means a minor devata. So we have the major devatas like Indra and Agni and Varuna. They govern the direction, etc., and they're very prominent in heaven. Upadevata refers to many, many minor deities who are in control of certain things within this material world, like the trees and the rivers and the mountains and whatever like that. So individually they may have devatas. And as well we have apsaras and gandharvas and other personalities who enter into heaven to help the sing and dance and glorify there. And here they are glorifying Krishna as he stands in the forest or is coming back from the forest. So they produce some, it says, actually mentions here, songs and instrumental music. They surround him and they play this music. So in other words, they present a picture of Krishna being glorified by these upadevatas. Now, we don't expect them to see Krishna as Supreme Lord. So this glorification can only be taken as an example of how wonderful Krishna must be, so that everyone would glorify him, whoever they are, including the Gandharvas and Apsaras and whoever in heavenly planets, because of his excellent beauty and his wonderful qualities as the child of Nanda. So, therefore, we have a mention of that here. The gopis refer to the son of Nanda Maharaj. They could just say Krishna, or use a general term, but they use this particular term, the son of Nanda. So that phrase is often used by the people of Vrindavan to show how they recognize Krishna as their relative, someone who is one of them, and he's not Supreme Lord at all. So, for instance, when Varuna took Nanda Maharaj away, then Krishna went down, and then devatas came, and Varuna was there and offered respects to him, and then Nanda Maharaj saw that. And then he came back, and then he told everybody, oh, Krishna must be someone very special, because the devatas, Varuna Dev, was worshipping him and offering his respects along with the other devatas and whatever. So he must be Supreme Lord. And then they say, well, and then they ask, well, maybe we should ask something from Krishna. So then they ask, let show us the spiritual world. So the Krishna did that. He showed them Vaikuntha, or he actually showed them Goloka, or Aishwarya Goloka, and then he showed them Gokul, but that Gokul was actually where they were. So then they understood where they were is better than Vaikuntha or Goloka in the spiritual world, that this being with Krishna was much better than that. But after they had that vision, then they began talking among themselves, and again said, oh, yeah, Krishna, he has great powers like this, because he even showed us, you know, spiritual world or whatever. But anyway, he can't be, because he's Nanda's son. And if he's Nanda's son, he cannot be the Supreme Lord. He was simply born as Nanda's son, and he's our relative, so therefore he cannot be Supreme Lord. So they identify him as the son of Nanda Maharaj, and this negates any idea that he is Supreme Lord. So that is often why this word is used, to emphasize the fact that he is one of them. He is an ordinary person just like them. And therefore, even if he shows powers, he can't really have those powers because he's just one of us. And it must be that Vishnu is showing those powers or protecting them in some way. So, therefore, they always accept Krishna as one of them, not as someone with extraordinary position and power like a Devata or a Supreme Lord, etc. So though they here glorify Krishna by saying the Upadevata has come and are glorifying, etc., still, this is an expression of their great admiration for Krishna and their expectation that everyone should glorify Krishna because of his great sweetness. So there, because we've seen that previously when Krishna went to was with Varuna, and he was worshipped by the devatas. Then the others are aware that Krishna is Supreme Lord, and therefore that dilutes their relationship with Krishna. So thus, Vasudeva and Devaki are not considered to be on the same level as the people of Vrindavan, because they also see Krishna as Supreme Lord, in spite of the fact they see him as their son. But that recognition of Krishna as Supreme Lord interferes with their affection. So it's not so sweet for that. And that is why Uddhava glorifies the people of Vrindavan more than anyone else. And that is why Brahma glorifies the people of Vrindavan. He could very well glorify the Yadus and Vasudeva and Devaki, etc. But he particularly mentions the people of Vrindavan and Nanda and Yasoda, the gopis, etc., rather than the people of Mathura and Dwarka, because the intensity of the love of the people of Vrindavan is so great. So even if there are opportunities for disturbing that sweetness by a show of powers, their affection is so great that it hides whatever powers are there. And thus, if Krishna does show powers, or devatas express their respect for the Lord, as with Varuna, or here even the Upadevatas do so, still, it doesn't interfere with their relationship with Krishna. We see another example with Yasoda, when Yasoda saw the universal form. So, of course, we can say that Krishna made her forget. But actually, a higher reason is not that she was made to forget, but that her prema covered over any other realization. So though she saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, because of her great affection for Krishna as her child, she forgot about that. It was a contradiction. So therefore, she couldn't tolerate thinking of that. Therefore, the affection for her son overcame that, and she forgot about it completely. And she gave some excuse, that maybe the demons are interfering or something like this. And then she called the brahmanas and had the brahmanas chant mantras to protect Krishna, because maybe she thought, oh, he's being disturbed by demons, and that's why I've seen this vision of universal form or whatever. So it's not because of Krishna doing anything to hide anything. It's because of her great prema itself that overcomes any realization of greatness or whatever in Krishna. And we can say this is a test, or not so much a test, but a demonstration by Krishna of the strength of the Brajabasi's love, including Yasoda's. So even though Yasoda saw the universal form in Krishna, it did not affect her love at all. Whereas Arjuna saw the universal form, and then after that, he apologized to Krishna. Oh, I'm sorry that I acted as your friend, and we sat on the same table, and we sat on the same bed, and we joked together as friends, because I understand you're the Supreme Lord. So he had great respect for Krishna after that, and that diminished his the sakya feeling. But with Yasoda, no. She never thought of Krishna as Supreme Lord after that. Completely forgot about it. She did not accept it at all. Because of the strength of her love more than anything else. So it eclipsed this vision of the universal form. This shows the strength of the love of the people. It is so strong that even if there are tests or whatever, a show of opulence, still their love is not disturbed. They don't change in any way and think of Krishna as God. Mother Yasoda saw the universal form, and then immediately, for a moment, she was thinking, "Oh, she had the sentiment that wasted my time being a householder. I should renounce everything. I should give up everything and concentrate on, you know, spiritual matters and whatever." But then, of course, Krishna got a little worried at that point. So, well, if Mother Yasoda renounces everything, she's going to renounce me also. So he got a little afraid at that point, so he withdrew that vision of the universal form. But in any case, when she thought about it, immediately it began to disappear. And then finally she forgot about it completely. It was just like some bad dream or something for her. So, in other words, when Krishna did this, it acted as it showed the great love of Yasoda for Krishna, that the display of power could not affect her at all, whereas it would affect persons like Arjuna and others. They couldn't do anything for her. Therefore, in this case, also, if devatas manifest themselves or whatever, still it doesn't affect their affection for the Lord, and they never think of him as Supreme Lord, etc., because that affection is too strong. So they take it in another way. If the devatas are glorifying, fine, because everybody understands that Krishna is the son of Nanda, and he's the most wonderful person. That's all. So this is how they will accept everything. So of course, other cases, Krishna may hide things completely. In the case of when Krishna showed the universe, all the forms of Vishnu to Brahma, that was hidden completely from the people. They didn't see that. Only Brahma saw that. So therefore, Brahma understood that this cowherd boy is the Supreme Lord. Plus he is Krishna. So then he had a doubt, maybe this is only Krishna, he's not the Supreme Lord. But then he understood that everything, all the Vishnu forms are in Krishna. He includes all the other forms. In this way, he had great respect for Krishna as Supreme Lord, plus as a cowherd boy. He understood the cowherd boy form of Krishna is greater than the forms of Vishnu. But still he had great respect for Krishna. But this was hidden from everyone else. They never had access to that at all. Similarly, when Krishna was, when Indra came after he had been defeated, and again Krishna put Govardhan Hill and people went back to other places, then Indra came and apologized to Krishna. But nobody saw this. This was done separately and didn't disturb the people at all. So sometimes Krishna makes arrangements so that whatever acts are there to show the devatas respect Krishna as Supreme Lord are hidden from the people of Vrindavan completely, in this way they don't get disturbed. In other cases, he may directly do things like showing the universal form, to demonstrate the great power of bhakti, etc. Another incident was the lifting Govardhan Hill. Obviously, if Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, they would think, he's someone very special. But we see that even then, Krishna did display extraordinary powers, the people again, just as Mother Yasoda, forgot about the universal form as anything very special. So afterwards, Mother Yasoda again thought that, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, but actually, he didn't do it. Balaram helped, and Nanda Yasoda helped, and the other coward men helped also. So that's how it was done. Nanda Maharaj's strength is there, so it's not Krishna's strength. The display of power was explicitly made, but covered over by the affection of the people of Vrindavan. And of course, when Krishna was lifting the hill, then they were always worried. He's getting tired. We have to help him. His hand is shaking, whatever, like this. So they never thought of him as Supreme Lord at all. But it certainly was an extraordinary event. But their affection for him covered over any doubt about that, that maybe he is Supreme Lord. So therefore, the devatas may be mentioned here also, but it doesn't disturb their seeing Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj.
Maharaj, regarding this, Krishna showing Goloka, Aishwarya Goloka to Nanda Maharaj and the Prajavasis, can you say that because the Prajavasis had idea that Lord is other, means unborn, that's why Krishna cannot be the Lord because he took birth. Can you say that like that also?
Well, yeah, because he was the son of Nanda. Yeah. If he's the son of Nanda, they say he cannot be Supreme Lord. Yeah. Because Supreme Lord is unborn. He's not nobody's child. So he was born the son of Nanda's son. So how, and he's a little child. How could he be the Supreme Lord? So they think Supreme Lord means Vishnu or someone like that. So then, and he's no birth at all. So therefore, contradiction. And of course, he's acting as a cowherd boy. Why would God be a cowherd boy?
Yeah, he cannot be cowardly.
Yeah, so they think of God in a form of greatness like Vishnu. So then it's a contradiction. Everything in Vrindavan is a contradiction to that. So they say he can't be.
Another question, like, you know, see, before Kurukshetra war, Arjuna knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Before Kurukshetra war, Arjuna knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord because he went, and Duryodhana also went, and he himself said that I don't want that Narayan is an ayon, Narayan means he was considering Krishna the Narayan, means he had idea that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But so, can you say that in the war he forgot that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, only that friend relationship he maintained?
Well, all the people in Dwarka and Hastinapur, they have relationships of friendship or vatsalya or whatever, as well as dasya, and Madhurya also, the queens. But it's mixed with the idea of Krishna Supreme Lord. It may not be so explicit, but it's always there, and that dilutes the sweetness aspect. So therefore, there is Sakya with the Pandavas and others in Dwarka as well, but it is mixed with this mood. They understand he's Supreme Lord, so it makes it a little less intimate, less sweet. Whereas in Vrindavan, it's not there at all. So it's there with Arjuna. Now, Arjuna is a little special because he's a very intimate friend. Of course, he's an eternal friend also, and they become Nara, Narayan, etc. also as well. So, special relationship with Arjuna, an equal friend actually, whereas Yudhisthira's older friend, so he's a little bit of Vatsalya mixed, and the Nakula Sahadeva are a little younger, and so they're Dasya mixed with their Sakya. But this is a pure Sakya with Arjuna. But still, the Aishwarya is mixed in that. And then when he saw the universal form, that reminded him more of the Aishwarya aspect, so then it became a little more prominent at that point, and therefore the Sakya decreased because of that.
So, what we can say this rasa means, you know, that Sakya rasa mixed with opulence, Aishwarya. But here is the Aishwarya minor, can you say? Aishwarya is minor and more is in this...
It's absent for the people of Vrindavan. They don't appreciate Krishna because of Aishwarya at all. They don't understand him in that aspect at all. And that's an interference to the sweetness. So therefore, it gets covered over. If Krishna shows his powers, as he did to Mother Yasoda, then immediately her prema makes her forget, makes her think of some excuse why he's not Supreme Lord.
Maharaj, so regarding Arjuna, Maharaj said after the universal seeing universal form, his understanding of Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead has become more prominent. So does it mean that Maharaj, before darshan, it was not very strong?
Well, no, there is. Obviously, everybody in Mathura and Dwarka understand Krishna's Supreme Lord because he's a Yadu and he was born to Vasudeva and Devaki, but he had showed a form of Narayan also. Everybody knows that. So it's there. But sometimes it becomes more prominent, sometimes less prominent in their relationship. You know? So when he saw the universal form, it became more prominent, that idea. And then for the Sakya, got decreased more, less intimacy there.
So how do we understand it, Maharaj? So like before the war starts, Arjuna knows that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is in his side, I mean with Arjuna, but still he was behaving like a coward. I mean he was Arjuna know Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is in with Arjuna before start of the war, but still Arjuna was perplexed to fight. How do we understand that, Maharaj? Why he was worrying, why he was scared to fight when Krishna...
That was a special arrangement of Krishna, of the yoga maya, so that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. That's all.
Why did he show the material form instead of any of the incarnations, Maharaj, to Yashodama and Arjuna?
Well, Arjuna actually requested that. Mother Yasoda didn't request anything, but Krishna had to hide the fact that he'd eaten dirt. So this was, he showed the universe, not some dirt. And this acted as an impetus for Leela to show the greatness of Yasoda. Well, as we say, to show the greatness of Yasoda's love.
Oh, only to show that Yashoda's love is, that love and affection, whatever she has, is more greater than the others, can you say?
And well, yes, it surpasses the any display of greatness and covers it up. Mm-hmm.